Let's get right into one of the two realities of life. Yes, there's death, and then there are taxes. So we talk about taxes now and most likely a bit later in this 2021. Bringing you on behalf of Kroon and Mitchell, Phil Mitchell, CFA, CPA, good man you are. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Shelley?
Doing fine. Let me check my date, the 28th of January. I've got tax documents coming in the mail, my friend.
Yep, everyone's starting to get these in the mail right now, your 1099s, your W-2s. I think everyone's excited.
Well, okay, that's maybe a CFA CPA is, but yes, you're right, it's one of the realities. Oh, goodness gracious, let's get into our conversation, and yes, I have a feeling we'll get you back both on the TV and the radio side. I'm just going to be all over the map here, Phil. First of all, when is my date to file in 2021?
Yeah, so the way it works typically every year is the favorite date of April 15th. If it falls on a holiday, it's usually the next business day is the filing deadline. So this year it'll be April 15th. And just so people know, it's typically some people start a little bit early, so they might file in, right about now. Late January, but what the IRS did this year is they actually delayed the start of the tax filing season to February 12th. They had to do a little bit of programming update to sort of help if some people did not get the stimulus. They had to update the software to account for that and make sure people could get their refunds if it applied to them.
There we are. Another kind of big question to ask, is there a one big tax change in filing our 2020 tax return? Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably an interesting one. I think it's less to do with like one big one, but for most people, they just had all these different things happen to them. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, right? There could be some people that got unemployment for the first time in their life because their company closed for a certain amount of months. Something like that might be brand new. A stimulus check, that's one of the items that we're hearing people ask. And, so one of the things we try to do is just sort of clarify for people and just so they sort of knew. So one example is the stimulus check as an example. So people possibly got up to two stimulus checks in this last year. Neither of them are taxable. That's very important to know. It's essentially considered like a tax credit. However, for the unemployment side and then the bonus unemployment, that is considered income. And so that's what we want to make sure people know is they need to withhold for tax. And if they didn't, this is a tax time is when you're going to realize, hey, there might be some taxes due based on that. And so what happens is the government will send out a 1099/G form, and it'll say in box one, here's what your unemployment income was, and you need to recognize it as part of income for the year. So that might be the biggest one I see for some people is just that unexpected, potential liability, tax liability.
Back to the stimulus check. What if I didn't receive my stimulus check? What are my options here?
Yeah, so this is sort of the confusion, right? Is, you have 300 plus million American people that all, in theory could need checks, right? And so some people had some problems or issues. Maybe they got the first one, maybe they didn't get the second. Some people, we heard examples, they got a direct deposit on the first one, but the second one was mailed to them for some reason. But the long and short is if you didn't get your refund, what happens is you'll need to file a tax return this year, even if you normally wouldn't. And if you file a tax return, there'll be a form there called the Recovery Rebate Credit, which will allow you to be made whole for the stimulus, that you never actually received. And so that'll be important for people to note. And also an important thing to think about, too, is for some people who don't normally file, and a lot of times when they're not filing, it's because there's really not income being generated, so it's not relevant to them. But there are resources like VITA, V-I-T-A. It's a volunteer group that'll help people, lower-income people, help them file the return, in particular because they're really looking to get the stimulus money to really help them, just cover whatever basics they need.
Another kind of elephant in the room conversation. What if one worked from home? Are tax deductions available for me for my new costs here?
Yeah, that's a big one, right? Because how many people are working remote this year? A lot more than ever before. And this is a very interesting, is the tax law changed 2 years ago on this. There used to be something called an unreimbursed business expense. So if you work for an employer, there is a chance that you could file for this unreimbursed business expense. That was eliminated. So it is not available, just so people know that. So as long as they're an employee of an organization, you're not able to write off the internet, et cetera. And what we've suggested is some people is if they are incurring a lot of out-of-pocket cost, it could be something they're talking with. They talk with their company to see what they can do to help them, right? To say, hey, I'm having these additional costs. Did you realize these are something that you could write off or reimburse me for? So maybe people are incurring more printing costs, computer, internet, all those different things. But because most people cannot write it off, you know, the employer could by reimbursing them for those expenses, those out-of-pocket, you know, expenses. But if you're considered self-employed, there's a little bit different scenario. You could potentially write off some of the things, in particular if it's dedicated for work-only space.
Philip Mitchell with us, CFA, CPA with Mitchell, with Kroon and Mitchell right here in downtown Grand Rapids. Take me to the conversation of new charitable contribution tax benefits for 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, this is a really important thing, and I know, Shelley, you're one of them that, you know, volunteer and do great things for some nonprofits in our community. And the reality is we all know is they're struggling. They need help. You can think of, you know, something like the opera or symphony. Well, it's tough to throw events, and they still need to, you know, prepare and do certain things to keep their organization run. And what happened is with the IRS, they allowed us to actually use $300 essentially credit or write-off that they normally wouldn't be able to do. So, again, what happened 2 years ago with the tax law changes is it changed it in such a way that most people are not doing itemized deductions, and that's where most people would actually see the benefit of those charitable contributions. They'd write them off through itemized deductions. Well, for most people, something like 90% of Americans do not itemize anymore. So what this does is a workaround. It allows you to write off $300 in charitable contributions, even if you don't itemize. So again, it's a benefit for some people for sure. And then in 2021, they're bumping that up to $600. So those two could be really big for not just your nonprofits, but for the people like me and you that are supporting these groups that we really know they're doing great work, and we want to see as much help as they can get. And it's the carrot there to help entice people.
Love it. Thank you for that. Phil, did we talk about a change in the required minimum distribution rules?
Yeah, so that's a pretty big change that occurred. And this is, again, where I think everyone's getting a little bit crazy with the tax code. So many changes have happened the last few years. One of the things is, you know, in America, it used to be at 70.5. That's a birthday. According to the IRS, now you are required to take distributions from your retirement account, okay? Well, they changed that to now 72 years old, but the year that they began that was 2020. And in 2020, they officially said for that year only, you are not required to take a distribution. And so now you can see why CPAs are in demand and in need, is that so many laws are changing. You know, they change one, but then in the first year it's going to be utilized, it was paused, right? So what we're telling people is people 72 and older, remember, you know, in 2021, we're back to you are required to make distributions. And the reason I say that is there's a pretty big taxes if you don't take those required minimum distributions. So people in that age group will just want to make sure that they're in tune and that, you know, in 2020 it was paused, but it's back on for 2021 as of today.
Yeah, what year are we? We move on day at a time. It's got to be, because you're all over the map with that. But you're good. Thank you very much. Phil Mitchell, how do we find out more information? Obviously, carry on the conversation with you.
Yeah, our website is croonandmitchell.com, Kroon with a K. And anytime if people have any questions or just basic, you know, want to reach out, feel free to reach out and see what we can do to help you out.
Thank you very much for this conversation. Hello to the croon part of your life, and we'll talk again, Phil.
Great. Thanks, Shelley. Have a good day.